Welcome, Alice Walker, for Arts News. Now, Alice, some very talented writers have received perhaps the best phone call of their life this week. Why?
They certainly have. This is a bit like the lottery phone call a lot of people dream of, only it's merit-based. It's in recognition of exceptional creativity and promise, and it's worth $925,000.
Wow.
The MacArthur Foundation's so-called genius grants have been announced. These go to around 20 to 30 Americans each year, 26 this year to be precise, nominated by anonymous industry figures in a closed-door process. They get the cash prize over 5 years with no strings attached, meaning they can focus on the next stage of their career without worrying about the financial side of things, and so perhaps take more creative risks.
So who has taken out this award this year?
In terms of writers, we've got Valeria Luiselli, whose novel Lost Children Archive made the book a long list this year, and poet Ocean Vuong, whose debut novel On Earth We're Briefly Gorgeous has been making big waves this year, and it's just made the long list of the US National Book Prize as well. You can find reviews of both those novels on our sister program, The Bookshelf's website. Also on the list is graphic novelist Linda Barry.
And it's not just novelists who've been awarded these grants?
No, there's also a few literary scholars who've been recognised, including Emily Wilson, a classicist and translator who was the first woman to translate Homer's Odyssey into English. Here she is speaking about the attention she received around that on the stage show last year.
I would say that the conversation about gender identity and my translation is a great thing if it reminds people of what I would have hoped people would know already, but they don't, which is that classicists and translators and poets and writers don't all have to be old men. So I think it's a good thing also if it's encouraging younger people, especially younger women, to feel encouraged to enter the field of either classics or poetry or translation.
I remember that interview. It was really spectacular. So I recommend you go back and find it on the stage show's website. Congratulations to all winners. And staying in America, last week was Banned Books Week. What does that involve?
Banned Books Week's mission statement is to celebrate the freedom to read and highlight the value of free and open access to information. It usually falls in the last week of September, as it did this year, and PEN America has written a paper about what it describes as the nation's largest book ban.
Oh, what's that?
It's the way books are restricted in prisons. PEN says authorities deny inmates access to specific books in a way that is often, quote, arbitrary, overbroad, opaque, subject to little meaningful review, and overly dismissive of incarcerated people's right to access literature behind bars. The paper gives some examples. Texas has banned books by big names like Alice Walker, Joyce Carol Oates, Pablo Neruda, and George Orwell.
Gosh.
In Ohio, a book donation group was apparently blocked from sending a biology textbook to a prisoner because the anatomical drawings were labelled as nudity. And Arizona has banned one of my favourites as a kid, Dragonology, the complete book of dragons. Not sure why. PEN says it doesn't want to belittle legitimate security concerns, but it is calling for more explicit book restriction policies, for banned book lists to be made public, and for all states to review their policies for notification and appeal of a banned book.
Very interesting. Now to some local news. Writers SA has announced a suite of initiatives under their Diversifying Australian Writing Plan. What's this about?
It is a mouthful, isn't it? But this is thanks to an $82,000 grant from the last round of Australia Council funding that came out this month. And it involves a range of networking and development opportunities for underrepresented writers. So just to name a few, there's a mentoring project for the deaf writing community. There are meetups for queer writers, support for monthly performances from poets of colour, and an international exchange as well for First Nations writers in Australia and Canada. Here's Writers SA Director Jessica Ellis.
So the idea is that all of the projects are community-led, so they come from a need articulated by each of those communities, and the idea is that they will also build community. So they reduce the isolation that comes from the nature of the art form by bringing people together. So a lot of that is about networking and meeting other writers, and it's about building that critical mass. And it's something that we need in South Australia because so many opportunities for writers are centred on the East Coast. Often there is the sector here can be sort of disparate or disconnected. And so the idea is by supporting all of these different communities, we're bringing people together and to create that that critical mass of opportunities that allows more and more things to generate out of it.
The funding supports projects from October through to the end of next year, but as you heard, Jessica Ellis hopes the plan will have a more lasting impact.
Well, it's so very necessary to have more diverse writers given access to publishing here in Australia. Alice Walker there with Arts News.